Can you give us a little walkthrough of what that house looked like before it was rehabilitated?
In a single word, horrible. It was an uninhabitable.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Unmasked: The Stigma of Meth. I'm Nick Ciano. This podcast is meant to delve into the societal impact that meth has had in Muncie and Delaware County. In this first episode, we'll be looking at the aftermath of meth, namely from a real estate and neighborhood development point of view.
Now, I'm not exactly an expert in real estate valuation, but I can only assume that a meth lab being just around the corner from a house would make your property value tank over time. So to better understand this, we brought in two people who were a bit more versed.
My name is Craig Grabiel. I am the executive director for Eco Rehab of Muncie.
In short, Eco Rehab rehabilitates houses with an emphasis on sustainability, but they're also involved with education and outreach to keep homeowners up to date on building specifications and energy efficiency.
My name is Heather Williams. I am the program manager for Building Better Neighborhoods at Ball State University.
Building Better Neighborhoods was born through the Ball Brothers Foundation, with the aim to tie the university closer to the city.
I work out in the community with different neighborhood associations and different organizations, matching the needs of those neighborhoods with the power and the expertise and the experience of Ball State University and the students.
Heather also wears a different hat that ties her work even closer to Craig's. She's the president on the board of directors at Eco Rehab. As you heard from Heather, Building Better Neighborhoods is tied pretty close to the university. But over the past few years, Eco Rehab has been a major partner with the Immersive Learning Program, especially with the College of Architecture and Planning.
Well, a historic preservation officer had his commission along with him. A historic preservation officer says something along the lines of, we have all these old houses, really great houses in downtown Muncie, but they're really energy inefficient and they are not in great shape. I'd love to have people moving into these houses and enjoying them, bringing life down to downtown.
His timing was impeccable. An architecture professor was on the commission with him and wanted to get his students involved in the community and out of the studio.
Experiencing Muncie beyond Ball State University, getting them out and seeing the neighborhoods and seeing how other parts of Muncie are living. And then also getting them the opportunity to swing some hammers and instead of spending 4 years drawing what should be built, get them out and actually get hands-on experience in building. And I think that's the best way.
That was 7 years ago, in 2009. And Eco Rehab has been swinging hammers with students ever since. And in spring of 2016, they took on a completely different type of renovation project, rehabilitating a former meth house.
Can you give us a little walkthrough of what that house looked like before it was rehabilitated?
In a single word, horrible. It was an uninhabitable. Technically, legally, was not supposed to enter the house because it was tagged as a meth house and unfit for human habitation. So it was not to go in. Had permission from the homeowner just to go in. Heavily protected with a mask and everything else to go in and just see the condition of the house. And it was deplorable.
So you walked through the front door. What did you see?
It was a really, unpoetically, I would say that it is a really junky house, a really small house that had been turned into a rental and had been probably had a series of unattentive landlords that did not care about the house or the condition of the house. There was a slew of trash throughout the house, like just simply garbage, like fast food wrappers and, you know, groceries and, you know, bits and pieces of board games and stuffed animals and clothing and broken furniture. Parts of the kitchen, what was left of the kitchen were missing. All the bathroom fixtures, toilet, bathtubs, valves were missing.
He said it had been renovated, trashed, partitioned, repartitioned, remodeled, you name it. But in the end, even all of that junk was unsalvageable. Everything was contaminated with residue from meth. So why rehabilitate it? Why not start over from scratch? What's better for the average person in Muncie?
I would rehab a house because I don't know if you know this or not, but you can buy houses for $1,000, depending on what, you know, what season it is. I mean, you can get a house for, indirectly, you can get a house for as little as a couple hundred bucks.
Certainly no mansion for a few hundred dollars.
Obviously, it's not a great house at $100, but with given time, it can be a great house. It has structurally, typically, they are, and they're in still pretty good shape. They have the potential to have the charm and detailing that you don't see in a house today.
So it's important for homeowners, but what about for the rest of the neighborhood? What do they think is best?
If you look at it from the neighborhood aspect of it, if you tear the house down, something may never get built there again. And if it does get built there, it won't, aesthetically, it won't be in the same character as the rest of the neighborhood. Also, if a new house doesn't get built, then you have the potential of putting that, what we say, the putting a hole in the social fabric of the neighborhood.
Not to mention the time and resources have already gone into the house. So why do that over again?
It's a house that somebody could have been sitting on the front porch, contributing to a neighborhood garden, looking out for the neighbor's yard, you know, potentially being a great neighbor, but now you just have an empty lot that likely nobody's going to mow, and it's just as much of an eyesore as it was before.
I think that what you said about the social fabric is accurate. When you tear down a house, you end up with what we call missing teeth on a block.
So if the houses on a block are akin to a full smile, every abandoned lot, whether it be from a meth house or what have you, every abandoned lot is like a tooth that gets knocked out from a full smile.
And the residents feel that. Like they see that these houses are deteriorated, they're blighted, you know, they're abandoned. But, you know, a lot of times they still see hope in that. And when you go and, you know, the city comes in and they tear down the house, that hope is lost because it is not likely that a house will be rebuilt. I mean, that's just fact. It is very expensive to rebuild homes.
So whether a house is marked as a former meth lab or even if it gets torn down, never to be rebuilt again, it negatively impacts the neighborhood.
There is definitely a negative to a neighborhood for a house that's blighted or vacant. So if you have a house that's abandoned on a block, the property values of the properties around it will decrease. So you're looking at thousands of dollars in value lost because of blight and abandonment. But because of this rehab, it may not be tangible per se that the houses around it aren't going to increase in their assessed value, but they definitely don't have that loss any longer. So in that effect, it really does make a difference for the neighborhood that this one house has been rehabilitated.
The meth house that was rehabilitated was at 1215 West 10th Street in the Thomas Park Avondale neighborhood of Muncie.
Thomas Park Avondale is on the southwest side of town, south of the river, also near to one of the old factory sites in town. So it sits just south of 66 acres of concrete where a factory was torn down.
To put it into perspective, 66 acres is just over one-tenth of a square mile. You can see the remnants from that factory and the industrial heyday of Muncie. There's railroad tracks crisscrossing the area, and the houses are close by in a neat grid pattern. As industry left, a lot of these homes fell into decay. Some houses stayed in families, and some were bought for cheap.
These were houses that were built for, the worker class, individuals who worked in the factories. It's an older neighborhood. There are individuals who have lived there their entire lives. Their parents have lived there. Their grandparents have lived there. There's a lot of community pride. There is probably an even amount of renters versus homeowners. So you do have those really strong ties to the neighborhood, but then you also have a lot of individuals who move in and out, who may live on one block for 6 months, and then they move three blocks over for, another 6 months. So there is a little bit of that going on in the neighborhood as well. So that transiency kind of, creates a different feel for this neighborhood that used to be so so strong and so family-oriented.
But it isn't without hope.
And I should say, too, that this area of the city is really lucky to have the Ross Center in it.
For any other people who aren't too familiar with Muncie, that's a community center in Thomas Park, Avondale that provides programs and services to boost education and wellness in the community.
The Ross Center has been a center for the community for over 40 years. So that's, you know, consistency that has lasted throughout all of these factories closing and change. So, you know, the kids have always had that place and the community has always had that place to look to be kind of their beacon of hope.
Indiana State Police has an interactive map of meth lab locations since 2006. And if you zoom into Muncie, there's a heavy concentration of points in Thomas Park, Avondale. It's almost eerie. There are former labs just blocks away from schools, across the street from daycares, behind bars, and right by gas stations. Not exactly the place you want to be if there's an explosion. But this economic downturn from the flight of the factories was mostly visible 40 years ago when all those jobs left. It's been a whole generation. Can we really keep blaming the loss of jobs 40 years ago for such a big drug problem today?
I think the issue with drugs is it's much bigger than the factories leaving and that loss of jobs. It's in combination with the transient individuals that come in and out of the neighborhood. They don't have those strong family ties, those strong ties to the neighborhood. And perhaps they're, you know, leaving drug experiences they had across town, and, you know, they're coming into this new neighborhood. It's really hard to say.
Let us know what you thought of this episode. You can email us at unmaskedbsu@gmail.com. Special thanks to Kelsey Dickison, one of the magazine and web reporters who made this interview run so smoothly, and to Bobby Yeager, who helped engineer some of that music that you've heard during the intro and outro right now. That's it for this episode. I'm Nick Ciano. Thanks for listening.